Tunnel 7 podcast. This show is for clients, potential clients, and really anyone who is interested in making better decisions about their website. My name is Derek Allard, and I am a freelance website designer based in lovely East Hampton, Massachusetts. In each episode, I cover exactly one topic related to website design and explore it to provide insight, direction, and hopefully even some entertainment to my listening audience. I also have the soon-to-be-famous Tunnel 7 Q&A where I answer your questions. If you would like to send a question to be answered on the show, you can do so anytime at tunnel7.com/podcast and complete the Have a Question form. Okay, so we have made it to episode 9, and today on the show, I will be talking about content management systems, which is a topic I get asked about quite frequently, so I thought it was appropriate to dedicate a show strictly to it. And also, of course, we'll have a few questions here on the show. We have a question regarding PNG alpha transparency, one about website accessibility, and also one about Internet Explorer 8. So stay tuned. That's coming up in just a moment. But first, as always, I like to start with a recap of what's been going on here at Tunnel 7 over the last month. And I will say that in February to now, well, February actually was my busiest month to date. So thank you, everyone who has been working with me. I appreciate your business very much. And it's funny because at the beginning of the year with all the gloom and doom news, I'm thinking, gosh, I just got to get through this year. But actually, to this point, I'm busier than I've ever been. So thank you. I do appreciate it very much. So that is that. I have three new projects that I actually signed on with in the past month. One is an e-commerce job for a local coffee producer. I also have a company in Chicago that found me on my website, and I am working with them to redesign their website. So that's very cool. I always like those long distance projects. Not that I dislike seeing people, but that's one of the beauties of the web is you can work with anyone anywhere. There's no restraints really. What else? And I have a project on migrating a client over to Expression Engine. Always exciting for me. I enjoy working with Expression Engine very much, and I'll talk a little bit about that in our feature. Oh, and I do want to mention that on the 25th of March, so this coming Wednesday, I will be at the Tabletop Exposition, which is an annual event here locally. It's a joint venture by several of the area chambers of commerce. And I actually have a booth, and I'll be talking to people about their website and website needs. So if you're local and you're listening to this and it's before Wednesday, stop on by. I'd love to talk to you if you have things you need to do with your website or just website questions in general. Always enjoy talking about that. That is at the Log Cabin in Holyoke, and it's running from 4:30 to 7. And also, I've signed on to teach two classes for the Valley CDC. For those of you who listen to the show regularly, you know that I taught back in the fall. I actually had a lot of fun with it, and I was fortunate enough to have them ask me again to come back this spring. So I'm teaching two classes, and that will be happening, I believe, at the end of May. So if you're local and you qualify for signing up, I would love to see you in that class in a couple months. And that's really everything, I think, going on here. Very busy, very grateful, and getting my name out there with some different events. So looking forward to all of that. And that's all, and we'll go on to the Q&A. Okay, so today on the Q&A, I have three excellent questions, two of which actually came from Twitter. Post on Twitter, you know, if you have any questions, go ahead and go to the website. And two of them actually came directly from there. First question goes like this. Hey, Derek, I'm a web developer that works a lot with different designers. I found myself tempted to use 24-bit PNG files with transparency. I usually use a JavaScript PNG fix so that they'll work in IE6. Do you think this is a safe practice? And this comes from Tim in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Tim, thank you very much. A very good question. For those of you a little less technical, what he's talking about is there's when you're saving images for the web, for a website, there's many different formats you can use. And a PNG file which is referring to, can be saved in either 8 bits or 24 bits. 8 bits will display in every browser just fine. 24 bits have the advantage of having transparency around them, and it can just sit on any background, and it's a beautiful thing. However, some of the older browsers, Internet Explorer 6 in particular, have trouble with that. So, yes, Tim, I do think it is a safe practice to use a JavaScript fix. Myself, I've actually used PNG 24-bit files on a number of projects, and it is a little bit of a pain to set up, but if you're doing that, it's working. Always just make sure you test everything. I'm not sure which script you're using. Personally, I've used a number of them over the years. I like Drew McClellan's SuperSlite, which if you go to 24ways.org and just do a search on SuperSlite or Drew McClellan, it will come right up. Very lightweight, which is, I like that a lot. Some of the other solutions are kind of bulky, but works excellent. I have it working on a few production sites myself, and yeah, I think you're fine. And over time, Internet Explorer 6 will die off, and we won't have to worry about these kind of crazy fixes. So thank you very much, Tim, in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Next question comes to us from Sierra in Cocoa Beach, Florida. She writes, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around website accessibility. Can you help me? I hope so. Sierra, that's actually a very good question. Website accessibility is actually a much bigger topic than the little question and answer here. But in general, what I always like to tell people is that web standards and web accessibility are really very closely related. Web standards is all about coding your content such that it makes sense semantically. So for somebody who has a disability, that's going to make a lot more sense. So things like having an alt text in your image tags, making sure that your divs are named properly. So if you have a block of text that's content, it's, you know, ID equals content. Things like this all improve accessibility. And there's a lot of detail type things like that that you can do, that you should do. But when I do have a project that has certain accessibility guidelines, be it Section 508, which is a very common one, or WCAG 1 or 2, and you can do a search on those and get more information. There are validators out there that you can run your code through and say, oh, okay, my website does validate as being accessible. I always recommend people to do that. If you go to the W3C website and type in WCAG validator, you'll get that, and there's a Section 508 validator as well. That's actually it's a good question. And the next episode, episode 10, I'm actually planning on talking about website accessibility exclusively. So stay tuned for that. And I hope this question tied you over, or the answer to this question tied you over until then. So thank you very much, Sierra in Cocoa Beach, Florida. And now our last question goes like this. I read that Internet Explorer 8 was released last week. Should I be concerned about it breaking my website? And this comes to us from Jim in Wilmington, Delaware. Well, Jim, the short answer is no. I don't think you should be concerned about it breaking your website. I personally haven't downloaded it yet here to one of the test machines and run websites that I've run through it. But I have heard from other people in my field who I keep in touch with that they have, and there's been no issues. So generally, Microsoft's pretty good now. Their standard compliance is better, and they're very conscious of breaking the web. So they're less and less of a concern as we move forward here. Now, having said that, if you have a very old, outdated website, you may run into some issues, but in general, I wouldn't expect them. And keep in mind, too, it just was released last week, Internet Explorer 8 was, so it's going to take a significant amount of time for it to gain significant market share. I would expect Internet Explorer 7 to remain the most dominant browser for quite some time, at least several months. And then gradually, as new computers are shipped with Internet Explorer 8 and people start downloading it. But that takes time. I mean, it's not an overnight thing. It's released and everyone uses it. It has this broad acceptance pattern that takes a good chunk of time. So, Jim, I don't think you have much to worry about at this point. And if I find something to the contrary, I'll be sure to let you know. So that is it. Thank you very much to everyone who answered a question, thank you to everyone who asked a question. I'm responsible for the answering. Yes, I remember now. So that's the Q&A. And of course, if you are interested in having a question answered during an upcoming show, go to tunnel7.com/podcast and complete the Have a Question form. And if I use your question on the show, you will receive, well, at the moment, nothing, but you will be mentioned, and that's worth something, is it not? Okay, now let's go on to our feature. All right, so today's feature is on the topic of content management systems. One of the most common requirements that I, and I suspect anyone working in website design today, deals with is the ability to have the client edit their website directly. Now, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of different content management systems. They range from simple blogging software to e-commerce focus to more full-featured systems to enterprise-level systems that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. What I want to talk about today isn't so much what the best content management system is, because the reality is that they all have their strengths and weaknesses, but rather determine if you need a content management system, and if that answer is yes, how to go about selecting one that will work well with you. So let's start by defining what content management systems are. Put simply, content management systems allow you, the client, to edit your website without needing to know anything about HTML, CSS, or any other technical knowledge. Now, in the early days of the internet, websites tended to be far more static in nature. If you needed to edit your website, you would call your webmaster, send along your changes, and wait for your webmaster to make those changes. Content management systems put the ability to edit your website in your hands and cut the webmaster out, for the most part. Now, content management systems have evolved dramatically since the early days of the internet, and today there are many well-refined options available to website owners. But first, let's ask the question, do I need a content management system? So before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I'd like to do what I do with my own clients and have a discussion about the pros and cons of content management systems and determine if you do, in fact, need one for your website. So what are the pros of a content management system? Well, the obvious one, you can edit your content without your website designer. The format of that content will be uniform across the website, because you're working in templates. It also allows access permissions for editing content for multiple users, so people in the marketing department can edit their section, and the people in the PR department or whatever department can edit theirs. In general, it puts the website owner in control much more than a static website where your webmaster is in control. Now, the cons of a content management system. Yeah, there are some cons. People don't like to talk about them, but there are. Often the cost of adding a content management system is considerable. With some systems, the code tends to be bloated and can open a website to security threats if not kept current. The design may also be constrained by the content management system framework itself. And, of course, unless regularly used, users might forget how to use the content management system. So those are all downsides of content management. So how do you figure out what do I need, what do I not need? Well, that's a good question, and I always start with, some questions to ask yourself. The answers to these following questions will help you answer if you need a content management system for your website. It will also help you avoid the added expense of implementing a content management system if you really don't need one. The first question I like to ask, how often will the website be updated? If you are updating your website more than once a month, a content management system will serve you well. However, if you're updating less than once a month, you'll more likely be better off simply working with your website designer to make edits. The other next question that I ask is, do you have sufficient resources to commit to a content management system? Many of my clients are small business owners, and the last thing they need is to worry about one more thing. If you're going to implement a content management system, make sure you have people who will be responsible for using it regularly. Do you plan on having a blog on your website? Well, blogging has grown exponentially in recent years. It's a great way to keep website content fresh. If you are planning on blogging or have other types of frequently updated content, then a content management system will definitely be needed. But if not, a content management system may not be required. And finally, the last question I ask of people, if maintenance will be done in-house, does your person know HTML? And contrary to popular belief, there are ways to maintain a website in-house without a content management system. If you have someone who knows HTML, he or she may be able to edit the website directly. And I say that because a standards-based website separates content from the design, so basic HTML skills are all that's needed. Now, for more on this topic, you can see my blog post titled, Do You Really Need a CMS? And there is a link in the show notes to that. So you've answered the hard questions and determined your website needs a content management system. What now? Well, first and foremost, you want to avoid making the mistake of building your website with a content management system that doesn't fit your needs. This may sound like a complete no-brainer, but I have had far too many people come to me over the years where this is exactly what happened. Choosing a content management system that doesn't meet your needs will cause you countless headaches. So how do you avoid this scenario? Well, obviously your website designer will work with you to steer you in the right direction. However, even before that, I recommend starting with your requirements and go from there. Think about the types of content you will need to add and update. Is there e-commerce involved? Is there a blog, a calendar, event listings, forums, wikis, whatever it is? Once these requirements are nailed down, then and only then should you begin working with your web designer to make a decision regarding your content management system. The reality is that while your website designer will work closely with you to make good decisions, he or she can do so only if you have thought through what your website needs to do. If you don't know what you're looking for, you can easily make a bad decision and get in a bad situation. Okay, so now we want to look at, are you going to use an existing content management system or are you going to build one from the ground up? So I tend to group content management systems into two categories. The first is an off-the-shelf solution built by a third party. The second is to have a proprietary content management system built from the ground up around your requirements. Personally, I come down on the side of the first option. For the clients that I work with, the second option of building a proprietary content management system is often cost prohibitive. I am also of the opinion that off-the-shelf solutions have become very refined over the years and are robust enough to accommodate the needs of many of my clients. This is not to say that building a content management system from the ground up isn't an option. However, it is an option best reserved, I think, for larger corporations with a full IT department. The other advantage an off-the-shelf solution has is that if your web designer wins the lottery and decides he is going to go ride his bike across the country, you will easily be able to find another website designer who works with the system on which your website was built. The same cannot be said of a proprietary system built from the ground up. Alright, so let's look at the costs associated with a content management system. As I mentioned earlier, the costs associated with content management systems can vary widely. For the sake of this discussion, I'm going to limit our explorations to common small business systems. For those building content management systems from the ground up, your costs will be significantly higher because you're going to have the time to develop the system from the ground up. Now, typically for the smaller systems, there is a licensing fee that is nominal or non-existent for open source solutions. The costs of a content management system typically come in configuring it to meet your website requirements and training your staff to use the system and support them in the opening weeks. There are also some additional expenses after your website launches, keeping the system current with upgrades as newer versions are released, for example. But again, these tend to be rather small and based more on your website designer's time than anything else. Okay, so we've talked about how we kind of have a sense of our costs, we have a sense of what our options are. But let's look now at really some examples of content management systems. Now, the systems that I'm going to mention are in no way meant to suggest that they are the only options available. Compiling a complete list would be a monumental task. Instead, I have opted to highlight popular systems that I have used and or are in frequent use today. Because I work primarily with PHP, nearly all of these systems below are in fact PHP based. So I broke it down into four general categories. And the first is just basic editing. You need a little blurb of your website to be editable. Now, the following content systems will give you control to make these basic edits, but are somewhat limited in what they can accomplish. And in this category, I put Adobe Contribute, which is kind of, it's a desktop client more than a true web-based CMS. But I've used it in the past. It does a great job for very basic stuff. And the second one I want to mention here for basic editing is called Cushy CMS. Cushy CMS is free. As you mentioned, Adobe Contribute, I think the license is around $250. Cushy CMS is completely free. It's really quick to set up for your developer and really easy to use for a client. It does have a lot of limitations. If you're looking to edit a block of text, perfect. If you're looking for any more bells and whistles, not going to be the best option for you. But those two are great for basic editing. The next category I wanted to talk was for blogging. Now, these following content management systems will build a solid website focused on blogging. And right now, there's a lot of websites that are really just blogs that are dressed up a little bit. And the two, and really, as I was writing this, I could have put down just one. The first one is WordPress. WordPress is by far the most popular blogging software, software. It's content management system software. Installs on your server. They also have one you can just sign up online. You don't even have to worry about configuring anything. That has some limitations. But WordPress is kind of the king for just straight up blogging right now, which isn't to say there aren't a lot of other great systems that do it, but people like WordPress. So I wanted to mention that one. The other one for strictly blogging, TextPattern, that's kind of, I used to use it years ago. It's still around. It's a nice system. It has some limitations, but those two I would mention for blogging. I mean, to be honest, if I had to pick between those two and I was building a blog, I would definitely go with WordPress. Okay, the next category is for e-commerce. Now, if your website has primary focus of selling, using one of these following systems will probably serve you well. And the three that I have in this category are OS Commerce. OS Commerce has been around for years and years. It has a huge developer community. Integrates with UPS and for shipping, integrates with a lot of payment processors. It's a little bit dated from a code base standpoint, but it still gets the job done. The other one is Zencart. Zencart has been, built actually on the same code as OS Commerce, but is a little more forward thinking with the templating systems. Also very nice. And the third one that I'll mention is the noob player in town. It's called Magento. Magento has a lot of overhead to it, I'll say, from what I've read, and I've actually had it on a local server here. It's a little slow, but that was a very early version. Magento looks very promising. It doesn't quite have all the features that the previous two did, but it is very user-friendly, so I'm keeping an eye on Magento. So those are three e-commerce systems, content management systems, if you're really just focused on selling. And finally, the final category I just categorize as for more advanced features. And these systems will accomplish blogging, e-commerce, and there are many other functions, forums, wikis, calendars, photo galleries, all kinds of stuff. So these are those systems. And the first one I'll mention, of course, is going to be Expression Engine. I'm a big fan of Expression Engine because it allows me to use whatever design I want and I can write my own code. I'm not inheriting code. Expression Engine is actually what my site runs on. I have clients that run Expression Engine and love it. So that tends to be my first, for a more advanced site, that's the way I go. And the other two I want to mention is Joomla and Drupal. Joomla has been around for a number of years. I know locally here, there's a lot of developers who are Joomla developers. And actually the same with Drupal. There's a lot of developers locally who use Drupal. So I've used both of them. I think I like Expression Engine better, but I'm not going to do a commercial for Expression Engine. Joomla and Drupal, both very powerful, very easy to use. In my opinion, don't have quite the flexibility of Expression Engine. but definitely have a lot of people that use it and love it. So those three I will mention in that category. Yeah, go out, check them out. All of these actually that I'm mentioning are on the show notes at tunnel7.com/podcast, and there are links to them. So go check them out, click around, and have some fun. All right, so in conclusion, I just want to say that, you know, before jumping into a content management system, take some time to make sure it's what you really need. In many cases, it will be, but in some cases, it won't be. If it is, do yourself a favor and write down your list of requirements. Armed with these requirements, your website designer will be able to work with you to select a content management system that meets these requirements. Let these requirements drive your decision. A content management system is a big decision and not one that should be taken lightly. And that concludes our feature on content management systems. And that also concludes this episode of the Tunnel 7 podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show and are a little more knowledgeable than you were before we started. Now, on the next episode, as I mentioned in the Q&A, I will be talking about website accessibility. As always, the Tunnel 7 podcast is sponsored by absolutely nobody, but should you feel the desire to send cash, I have no problem mentioning you here. This episode and every episode is recorded in the Tunnel 7 studio with an Audio-Technica AT2020 microphone and the Alesis Multimix 8 USB mixer using the lovely free functional Audacity software. The song Sun Is Out by The Wig Report is used for both the intro and outro music. For more about The Wig Report, go to myspace.com/TheWigReport with two G's in wig. For more about me or Tunnel 7, or if you have a question you would like answered on the show, you can visit tunnel7.com at any time, day or night, weekday or weekend, because, after all, that is the beauty of the internet. Thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.